Ms. 1058. Coming up at 11 on Stage and Studio, host Dee Mae Roberts talks with members of Passin' Art Theater about Tommy J. and Sally, their explosive show on race dialogue. And playwright Wayne Harrell talks about the world premiere of his Oregon history play, Remy's Run, at Coho Productions. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews Blake Shell of the Art Gym about their current show, Carte's Uchi, an opera for one.
Tune in to A Jazz World on Wednesday, October 28th from 2 to 4 p.m. to hear Jessica Lori and her ensemble perform live. We'll be speaking with Jessica about her West Coast tour, where she is these days, and hearing live from the Jessica Lori Ensemble. That's A Jazz World, Wednesday, October the 28th, from 2 to 4 p.m. on KBOO Portland. Jessica Lori Ensemble, live.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Imperialism, Climate Crisis, and Struggle, an evening with Harsha Walia and Luz Rivera on Sunday, November 8th at 5 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Harsha and Luz will speak about their work and experiences cultivating fierce, loving, and sustainable communities of resistance within a transnational analysis of capitalism, settler colonialism, state building, and racialized empire, and how climate change threatens to or is already compounding the forces of state and corporate violence against which they struggle. Again, that's Imperialism, Climate Crisis, and Struggle, an evening with Harsha Walia and Luz Rivera on Sunday, November 8th at 5 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1011 Southwest 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're listening to music from Portland composer and musician David Ornette Cherry. You can hear his music at davidornettecherry.com. Today I feature a Passin' Art Theater's intriguing show about a relationship between an African-American man and a Jewish woman. We'll talk to the director and two actors from the play. It's called Tommy J. and Sally. It's by acclaimed playwright Mark Madoff. And in the second half of the show, we'll hear from playwright Wayne Harrell about the world premiere of his play, Remy's Run, at Coho Productions. It's about Oregon history, featuring a man who raced from Sacramento to Portland on a horse. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio, our director, Andrea White. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And actors Marcus Malden. Hello.
How are you doing?
And Sarah McGregor. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome, both of you. You're new, I think, first-timers here, right?
Yes, I was definitely. Here several years ago.
Well, see, it's probably many, many years ago. Yes. My brain just doesn't have that much
I had different hair.
Gigged. I was going to say that. Yeah, that's exactly it. Welcome back anyway. Welcome
you.
To the Stage and Studio. Tommy J. and Sally has been described as a modern-day twist on the Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings relationship that leads to a discussion on racial injustice, diversity, and it's between an African-American man and a Jewish woman, Tommy J. and Sally. Andre, how accurate is that description?
Of?
The play itself.
Oh, of the
about
play
this modern-day twist on that relationship.
I
mean, I've read that several places.
Right. I think it's much more symbolic, you know, I think it is accurate, but it's so much more than that, this story. And I really, and even beyond the racial components, it's about responsibility to one another as human beings as well, you know.
Well, it sounds like it begins with a major conflict.
Yes.
And kind of doesn't let up. An African American man invades a white woman's life, right? I mean, what is that about?
It's a home invasion kind of situation.
Kind of, but okay. I'm not going to give any twisty things.
No, I have no problem talking about what happens in the play as opposed to, you know, trying to keep it a surprise. I think it's compelling enough on its own.
Yes,
it's a home invasion situation, and it happens to be, we find out that they have a history.
Well, she's claiming to be someone she says she isn't.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a mystery involved there.
There is.
In this dialogue between
yes.
them.
She has completely re-engineered herself via plastic surgery and just changing her name and completely disassociating from her past.
That's very compelling, and it seems to be a crux of the conflict is revealing truth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Well, what drew you to this play?
Well,
Jerry
from Pass in Art.
Jerry Foster.
Jerry Foster approached me with this story. I'm mixed and black and Jewish. So I think that he thought that I would have a firm understanding of the subject matter.
It seems like you would.
Yes. And it's really...
I didn't realize that about you.
Yeah. So, and I did. I read it and I thought two things. Whoa, that seems like a real challenge for it to be the first play that I direct. And then two, this is a very compelling story, you know, and it's brave. It's a brave, he tells it in a brave way.
Well, how much does the interplay between the two cultures come into this? Just historically, African Americans and Jewish Americans have fought together, you know, for civil rights, especially starting with the 30s even, with mm-hmm. the development of the Union. So I'm just wondering, how much does that cultural influence influence the play?
It does very much so. You know, as they go back through history together, back to their childhood, the Jewish culture that's very familiar to me comes up in a very strong way. And then we deal with the themes of, you know, you're able to Sally, Tommy J says, you know, you're able to completely re-engineer yourself. And I'm stuck with the basic component of myself, which is my skin color. And I can't do that. I'm, you know, I don't have that luxury. So those are some of the themes that, that are dealt with. But then the idea of home and meals and family that is so dear and familiar to my heart with my Jewish culture is very much present.
Wow. And so on a personal level, this has a lot of meaning for you. Then.
It does. It does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how often does that come up, you know, that you're able to do something that represents both your cultures?
You know, it, as far as being a professional actress, the only other time was when I did American Daughter and it happened to be a black Jewish character.
Exactly.
These are the only two times. And it's really always when I have the opportunity to explore that part of me that people don't readily know, I feel happy about that and lucky because I think, you know, I lead with brown skin. So a lot of August Wilson, and which I'm also very proud to do. But this other part of me is something that I identify with equally.
I totally get that as a biracial Asian American mm-hmm. myself, you know, it's like, you know, it's nice to represent both sides.
Yes.
When you
yes.
can, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, Marcus, you play Tommy J.
Yes, I do.
So tell us about Tommy J. What kind of character is he?
Well, he is a brother that he's trying to express himself. He finds himself coming up against walls, stumbling blocks, if you will. He has to break the law in order to become a law-abiding citizen, which, you know, unfortunately, there are many African-American men and women and other minorities that some have to do that in order to become a law-abiding citizen or behave in a law-abiding way. For instance, he has to say that someone stole his wallet so that he can get a dead man's Social Security card so he can get a driver's license. So he has to break the law in order to become a law-abiding citizen.
Because he's come out of jail.
Yeah, because he's come out of jail. You know, so the characters, I also feel that the whole story is also a love story in a sense because their history embodies their relationship, and their relationship was a loving one when they were younger.
This is with Sally.
With Sally, uh-huh. And because of that loving relationship and his feelings toward her that he wasn't able to tell her, and she wasn't obviously able to tell him, for she has disassociated herself with her entire past, this is, if you will, a come to Jesus meeting for both of them.
Well, so Sally is not represented here, but how would you describe her? No. Oh, are you Sally?
I'm Sally.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that you were playing Sally.
Well,
Sarah, tell us about Sally.
Yeah, she is. Well, she's a celebrity. She's a pop star. So she is incredibly successful in that way that a lot of us view success. She makes money. She is famous. She's
reinvented herself.
She's reinvented herself. But I believe that she starts the play from really a place of tragedy. As I was reading this play millions and millions of times, I started thinking about tragedy in the sense of like an Oedipus or a Lear, and it comes from this place of not knowing, either by design or by circumstances, not knowing or accepting who you are. And that is where she begins the play. She has completely eradicated her past. She has changed her face. She lies all the time. And she is not known by anyone, including herself. And this self-loathing that caused her to want to re-engineer herself completely didn't work. It worked in that she was successful and that she did it, but she created a whole new person and then didn't like her either. So she's incredibly broken. And I believe when a person carries that much loneliness and that much shame, that comes out as rage and violence. She's incredibly self-destructive. She's mean, but she's smart. She's very smart, and she has a very, very, very tender, open heart and a great desire somewhere inside of her to be witnessed and to be accepted in a way that she couldn't accept herself for most of her existence.
And to connect.
Mm-hmm. She wants it so badly, but that's so hidden that she can't even see it.
Well, it sounds like a wonderfully complex, set of characters, both of you. Mm-hmm. There's so much to play. In case you've just joined us, I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio, with my guests, director Andrea White and actors Marcus Malden and Sarah McGregor, who you just heard. And they're all from Passin' Art Productions, Tommy J and Sally by Mark Madoff. And the show runs through November 8th at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, the IFCC, in North Portland. And I understand you guys might have a scene for us. Do you have a short scene you can do from Tommy J and Sally?
Yes, ma'am.
You want to introduce it for us, Marcus?
Okay. it is a scene that is part of the reveal for his feelings for her, that bring her back to realizing the special relationship, friendship, brotherhood, sisterhood, love that they had for one another, I guess would be the best way to say that.
Well, great. So this is from Tommy J and Sally.
Okay. On Letterman last night, I got in a little late, but he was giving you credit for a word, and he said he wanted to expropriate it from you. What was the word?
Hillier,
yeah. So, what did you... You said you made it up?
No.
Well, what then, Sally?
I said I heard it in college years ago, and it seemed...
From whom?
I don't recall.
I'll tell you where I heard it. Your mom, she bailed me out that night. Proudest night of my folks' life. And they were attendants to a white woman who was bailing out their high school graduate from the slam. My folks told me that they were going to take me home out of this bastion of white bigotry. And I went up to my room to pack, but I came to your room instead. And I wanted to admit that I felt stuff for you. I wanted you to hold me. I wanted you to know exactly how I felt, but I was afraid that if I said the words, then it would confine me to a prison different from the one I grew up in and different from the one I was about to go to. And my want to's became twisted, and one thing led to another, and it came out as accusations, and terrible words flew from my mouth, from yours, like spears toward each other's hearts. And I think you know, I grabbed your notebook, your treasury, your life's blood.
And you started tearing up her songs.
And you hit me with a guitar, and I threw the notebook at you, and I jumped on the guitar, and I smashed it to bits, and you started pounding on me, and I grabbed you. Just to hold you, I wanted to erase, rewind, replay. And you were fighting me, and I was just holding you. And your mom and your dad and my mom and my dad came charging up the stairs, and your mom made us sit on the bed in that maelstrom of ruined hopes and music. And she told us about her old man, old Russian Jew. English wasn't so hot. He said there must be an acceptance of Hilya to her before she was about to go off to college, not knowing what she was going to do with her life. In America, between our religions, races, and sexes, there must be an acceptance of Hilya. And she said, oh, you mean a cure? And he said, no, there is no cure. A balm on our differences. Hilya.
That was simply lovely. And what a great voice you have, Marcus.
Thank you.
I'm shaking your hand.
That was awesome.
They can see it. Tommy J and Sally by Mark Madoff, directed by Andrea White, and just now performed by Marcus Malden and Sarah McGregor. Oh, beautiful. All shows are at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, and that's located at 5340 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. The show runs through November 8th. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday matinees at 3 p.m. And you can get tickets at boxofficetickets.com or go to PassinArt, that's P-A-S-S-I-N, art.net. And you can also call 503-235-8079. That's 235-8079. And if you purchase tickets online, you can use a special code community for a discount, which is valid through November 1st. So use it this weekend. The show contains some strong language and it's not recommended for children, but it sounds incredibly dynamic. In the time remaining, what else is happening at Pass and Art? Does anybody have anything going on after that?
Well, I do know that Jerry Foster, the artistic director of Passing Art, who brought me here from Texas, by the way.
Really?
This is my first time out in Portland.
Oh, welcome.
And I'm enjoying myself.
Maybe you'll stick around,
friends.
Huh?
I know, they're trying to get me to move here.
They are. Yeah.
That's a compliment, really.
They're doing a production called Smoldering Fires, being directed by William Earl Ray. Who was also from Texas.
Yes, yes.
And he's been out here before, but he's been out here directing before with Passing Art, but he has a long, illustrious career, and he's worked many years here, actually in Portland, as well as Seattle.
Well, looking forward to that, and I hope you do move. You're quite a talent. And Sarah, great to have you here, too. I mean,
Thank you.
Sounds like you guys are you have really good chemistry between you two.
We really do. I'm very lucky.
He's amazing.
And director Andrea White, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
You.
Actors Marcus Malden and Sarah McGregor, thanks so much for
thank
that beautiful
you.
Scene. And thanks for joining me, and have a great rest of your run on Tommy J and Sally.
Thank you so much,
Dima. Next up, we have playwright Wayne Harrell, who just opened his world premiere play, Remy's Run, at Coho Productions, after this short interlude from David Ornette Cherry.
Thank you.
Dimi Roberts. With me via phone is playwright Wayne Harrell. Hey, Wayne, are you there?
I am here, Dimi.
Hey, nice to hear your voice. Come a little closer to the phone so we can hear you more.
I'll do my best. How's
there you go. That sounds good. Well, congratulations are in order, Wayne. You just had a, you know, you had a break from theater for a little while because we knew each other in the 90s, and mm-hmm. it sort of seemed like, you know, you quit doing some stuff and I quit doing some stuff, and now you've had this world premiere after a workshop of your play last year, Remy's Run, and now you're premiering it at Coho Productions. So really major congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much.
You jumped right back in. Well, what brought you back to doing this? I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's I was doing plays, writing scripts, and then came time to, I have two boys, and it's like, oh, I need to make some real money. And so I joined up with a company called Henry V. Events. They produce corporate events all over the country, and I was creative director there. And as a process, part of doing that, I got to be friends with Jerry Green, who's the technical director. And we did all kinds of amazing visual stagings, you know, for companies like Hewlett-Packard, Adidas, Intel. And after a while, Jerry said, Wayne, you got a story? You got something else we could do that would, you know, that's not a corporate story. It's actually more of a dramatic story that we could maybe stage together. And I said, well, I have this film script I wrote based on this story about this cowboy. And we looked at that, and then we've kind of been adapting it to a play. We did the workshop a year ago with Fertile Ground. And
the rest is history.
It is.
And it is about history, and it's about Portland history. Tell us about the background of the play. What was it about this? Did you do some research, and this idea struck you?
Yeah, I did. It started when my wife gave me a copy of a book called Remy's Ride for the Gold, written by Portland author, or Oregon author, Thorne Bacon. And he found this story, and he wrote a young adult novel, and I read it, and my wife said, this would be a great script. Read it, and I thought, oh, she's right, and then put it away, and then eventually got back, and I went to the Oregonian article, the original article, through the Oregon Historical Society. It's from 1882. There was a Sunday Oregonian that told the story about this amazing French-Canadian cowboy who sold a herd of cattle in Northern California. He deposited $12,500 in a bank in Sacramento, got a certificate of deposit for it, and then about a week later, there was a bank panic in the Bay Area. And by the time he got back to his Sacramento branch with his certificate of deposit, they said, oh, sorry, we're closed. Your money is gone. And he was set for life. He was about ready to go, live a nice life of leisure.
Jeez.
And then he realized, you know, there was no telegraph or trains or anything on the West Coast at the time. And he realized there was one more branch in Portland. And the mail boat was just about to leave San Francisco to take the news up the coast and to get to Portland to close that last branch. And he thought, oh, wait. If I can beat the boat, I might be able to get my money out. And so he took off immediately, rode many horses, 6 days straight. He slept hardly at all. And in February, up what's now the I-5 corridor, but then was, you know, wagon ruts and Indian trails trying to get to Portland.
Wow, that is an exciting run. That really is. And I think it's, you know, that motivating factor, I think all of us could relate to. You know, losing your life savings is a pretty big deal. So how tricky that was. How tricky. And that's the whole crux of the whole play. And it's about his journey, Remy, from Sacramento to Portland. That's the entire storyline,
well,
right?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. And divergences along the way.
That's right. So there's, yeah, you follow him and his journey north. But, you know, as I'm thinking about this, it's like, okay, a guy riding a horse all by himself for 6 days, you know, what, you know, that's kind of hard, you know, as a writer. It's like, what am I going to do with that? And so I ended up creating a girlfriend and some trail hands, and they are actually on the boat. They're on the same boat headed north, and they're unaware of his journey. They think he's going to catch up with them 2 weeks later on the next boat. And they encounter somebody else from the bank also on that boat. And so they begin to try to exact their own revenge against the same bank representative. And so you got
So you get some subplots there. Okay.
Yeah.
And so as far as historically accurate, you created some I would say a B story then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But is the A story pretty accurate historically?
It is. If you go to the Oregonian article, it lists all the different places he stopped.
Wonderful.
And
yeah.
So I followed those, you know, and then I, you know, made up some of the things that happened along
right,
the way.
Right,
right. Because you just got to fill
artistic
that out.
Artistic license, right?
Yep. Yeah. And, but it, yeah, it was just, I mean, I love, you know, I'm a native Oregonian. I love Oregon history, and it was just so much fun to, you know, just to kind of live in that world and think through, you know, what life was like in 1855 when he made this run.
Well, I understand also, just to keep it, I guess, very Oregonian, you have a lot of multimedia in the show, so there's a lot of slide projections.
Yeah, we searched and we found a lot of images from the period, and then we gave them all kind of a an artistic rendering that gives them all a unique, or not a unique, but a consistent look all the way throughout. And then meanwhile, we created some video, we created animation as well, and so when you come into the theater, it's very much a an immersive multimedia show where it seems pretty straight, pretty calm and straightforward once you walk in. But then it gets rolling, and we've got some really exciting effects that don't get done because it just costs too much.
But that's still a lot of fun when you get it together. And it sounds like you've got a really great creative team too, with Jamie Ray directing and actors like Chris Porter and Jennifer Lanier in the show. You know, what else is in store for Remy's Run after this world premiere?
Well, I don't know, D-Man.
Well, are you submitting it elsewhere?
Well, yeah, of course I will. It's a I'll just kind of go through that. I would love to. One of my dreams would be to, if we could figure out how to do this, like as a single screen projection with one or two actors and
tour it.
Tour it and take it along Remy's Run, you know, from San Francisco to Portland. You know, because just all the major cities he went through, and it's like, you know.
Well, there you go. You got an idea right there. And, you know, it's a really different world regarding getting your play submitted to than when, you know, back in the 90s when you had to, like, hard copy mailing, mail hard copies everywhere. So who knows, you know? Does it feel like, you know, there's a lot more possibilities for you as a writer?
Yeah, currently there are. I was, you know, like I said, you know, we both talked about, we kind of stepped away from playwriting for a while and pursued other interests. But at the same time, of course, I had scripts going on. And, you know, I've got a big pile, frankly, right now. And I just kind of have this opportunity and time of life where I can say, okay, you know, Remy's Run, going to do that, going to get that produced. And now, and that's going on. And then even now I'm working on a musical project with a guy named Dave Fleshner, who's an amazing composer and pianist here in Portland. And he's written a big pile of songs, and he asked me to put it together storyline, and so we're trying to do something for Fertile Ground coming up.
Oh, pretty soon.
Yeah. And then I got some other a musical based on the life of Paul DeLay, who was a Portland hero.
Right, I remember that. Yeah. So a lot of irons in the fire. If you were to pick, in the time remaining, if you were to pick one moment of Remy's Run that you're especially proud of, what would it be?
I think the bull and bear fight is a lot of fun.
That sounds intense. Okay, I guess we're going to have to see it.
That's right. It was real. That's what they did for fun in San Francisco.
Wow.
They put them together, and how we stage it, it's like, wow, it's kind of fun to do and see. So.
Well, Remy's Run by Wayne Harrell, directed by Jamie M. Ray, runs through Saturday, November 7th at Coho Productions, and show times are Thursday through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. And I understand it's a 90-minute show. Is that correct, Wayne?
Yeah, it is. And it's even getting a little brisker. The actors are getting really tight.
They're getting really tight.
Transitions are zipping by.
All shows are at the Coho Theater, that's located at 2257 Northwest Raleigh Street in Portland. For tickets, visit cohoproductions.org or call their box office at 503-220-2646. That's 220-2646, area code 503. Wayne Harrell, thank you for joining me via phone today, and good luck with the rest of your run of Remy's Run.
Thank you very much, D-May.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
That's it for Stage and Studio. You can hear the show again on stageandstudio.org. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Yes, we are on iTunes. And you can just search for it, actually, on iTunes and just subscribe and get it every week. And you can like us on facebook.com/stage_n_studio and tweet your comments to me at @stage_n_studio. Till next time, I'm D-May Roberts. We're going to go out with more music we've been featuring by David Ornette Cherry, and you can hear his music at davidornettecherry.com. Till next time, I'm D-May Roberts.
I'm Sonny Blechinger, KBOO's Artist in Residence for 2015. I hope you'll tune in on October 29th at 10 p.m. for my radio play, The Pool. It's about four people that happen to swim at the same public pool every week. And even though they don't know each other, they've mostly decided they don't like each other. And you get to hear their thoughts.
I don't know what I was thinking. Swimming. This is horrible.
So please tune in for the world premiere, really, of The Pool on October 29th at 10 p.m. It'll be fun, like swimming.
People love swimming in the Crystal Plunge.
God, that creepy lifeguard is still staring at me.
Okay, let's just put the stuff down.
This is my time. My time in the pool.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on the wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
I'm Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Blake Schell. Blake is the iCults director and curator of the art gym at Merrillhurst University, and she's here to talk about Carts Uchi, an opera for one, which runs now